Family and friends of Margaret Carlstead, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want to know what really matters to a person, just consider if they're willing to teach it to children. If you could spend an hour with wiggly, rambunctious 3- and 4-year-olds, or if you can sit patiently next to children of varying degrees of talent and interest, and share with them what you love, then it must be important. It must matter. Margaret Carlstead was a devoted fan of the Denver Broncos. I don't know if I ever saw her wearing anything besides a Broncos shirt, including today, and you always knew which car was hers by the helmet and logo decals all over the hood and doors. But Margaret never spent her Sunday mornings or weekday afternoons teaching children about the history and merits of her favorite football team. No. She spent that time teaching children music, piano specifically, and she taught them about Jesus. Often she would teach them both at the same time. She taught her students how to play the piano by assigning them hymns, and she taught her preschoolers about Jesus by singing with them. And why not? After all, there is a special, close connection between music and theology. Martin Luther once wrote, "Next to the Word of God, music deserves the highest praise. The Holy Ghost himself honors music as an instrument for his proper work when in his Holy Scriptures he asserts that through her," that is music, "his gifts were installed in the prophets, namely the inclination to all virtues, as can be seen in Elisha. On the other hand, music serves to cast out Satan, the instigator of all sins, as is shown in Saul, the king of Israel. Thus, it was not without reason that the fathers and prophets wanted nothing else to be as closely associated with the Word of God as music." The people of Israel sang when God delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh and his army. The Psalms frequently exhort us to sing and make music to the Lord. The Apostle Paul teaches that we should sing hymns and psalms and songs to teach and admonish one another. And even our Lord Jesus himself sang a hymn with his disciples before going to the Mount of Olives, where he would be arrested. And perhaps this example is most instructive for us as we remember Margaret today. Jesus, her Lord, sang a hymn, knowing full well that he was about to be betrayed and convicted, suffer and die. Margaret likewise sang and played music, though she knew full well that her life would have its share of suffering too. She knew, she confessed her sins and faults. She buried several beloved family members, including a son and a grandson. She struggled with many physical weaknesses and ailments. She didn't live a life of wealth or luxury, but still she sang. Still, she played the piano and organ. Still, she made music unto the Lord. For she believed and confessed what the Apostle Peter writes in our epistle lesson this afternoon. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Margaret believed this, and she wanted others to believe this too. She wanted others to have the same living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. She wanted others to love Jesus, to believe in him and rejoice with joy. She wanted others to obtain the salvation of their souls. And that's why she did everything in her power to make sure she was at church every Monday night to accompany the church's worship with the piano or organ. That's why she went out of her way to greet visitors to our congregation. That's why she was always careful to make note of new names on the attendance cards to make sure that they had been contacted. That's why she invited every family she could to send her children, their children, to Sunday school. And of course, that's why she herself taught the children, hundreds of children, generations of children, that they too were Jesus' little lambs, that Jesus loved them too, for the Bible tells them so. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." That is, one must receive the kingdom of God by grace alone, apart from works. In the account we heard, the children did not come running to Jesus. They didn't decide to follow him. They were brought to him, and he took them up in his arms and blessed them. He laid his hands on them. That's the reason why this passage is read at every baptism, whether that of an infant or of an adult. For in baptism, we freely receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. All that Christ purchased and won by his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death is given to us in the waters of holy baptism by grace alone, and it is received by faith alone. Regardless of how old one may be when he or she receives it, the kingdom of God must be received like a child, because it is given as a free gift, apart from works. That's how Margaret received the kingdom, first at her baptism, and throughout her life in the Word of God, and weekly in the Lord's Supper. In fact, that will probably be one of the lasting memories I have of her. Monday nights, walking from this very altar to that piano in the back, bringing the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins, for Margaret to eat and to drink. When she received the sacrament there at the piano bench, when she heard the blessing, "The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting," she would always, every time, whisper, "Thank you." God remembers that promise. God remembers that promise that he spoke to Margaret through the mouths of her pastors, to strengthen and preserve her in body and soul unto life everlasting. He kept that promise last week when he preserved her soul through death and brought it to be with him in heaven. And he will keep that promise again on the last day when he will raise her and all the dead and give eternal life to her and all believers in Christ. But until then, what is Margaret doing? She's doing what really matters, what's really important. As much as she loved the Broncos on earth, she isn't up in heaven looking down on her team. She's not rooting them to victory from above, no. She's singing, and she's making melody to the Lord. She's seeing for herself her Redeemer, Jesus Christ. With the great multitude that no one can number, she's standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in her hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And so to you, Margaret's dear family and friends, fellow members of our Savior Lutheran Church, former students of hers, on this day, may you find comfort in the one thing necessary, the good portion that will never be taken away from you, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, in whom alone we also have an imperishable, undefiled, and unfading inheritance. Amen.